starting to learn of a recent development on YouTubers and things that people like to see on YouTube, right? There's a growing number of people that really like longer form videos that they could just listen to. And thankfully, my format seems to be that. I finally got 1,000 views on my first big video, which is the Universal Studios trip. So it must be a crowd favorite. Honestly, thank you guys for watching that. I love that. I really appreciate that too. I didn't expect to get so many views with such a little bit of, I don't know how to explain it. I did put YouTube ads on it, right? But not a lot. I put it for like 2 or 3 days and it's been working. You know, it worked pretty well. It did its thing, but it seems to have kickstarted a lot more once I put a YouTube Shorts out about that video. People actually used it kind of like a guide, and I love that. Thank you very much for that, by the way. YouTube has blessed me with one banger. It's not the biggest video, but you know what? It's a start. Anyway. I want to apologize for the last podcast upload. I do realize now that there is a loud echo in this house. And the truth is, we do not have the podcast studio set up yet. The truth is, we're not going to have it set up for a minute, to be honest. Maybe a minute or two, you know. It won't be too long, but at the same time, we're still doing the flooring. Look, there's a lot of work behind closed doors. The truth is, I'm really excited to get it started. But at the same time, for now, I'm going to have to speak in a calmer, more relaxed voice, because every single word I say echoes throughout the entire house. There is not a lot of refurbishing done. By that I mean there's no carpet on the ground. There's not much stuff on the walls. Like, there's not much, okay? It's very hollow, so it's very, you know, echoey. Having said that, it's my home, so I like it. But, you know, little by little we'll build. Anyway, I want to talk about the YouTube channel that I have, because the truth is it's going to be more of my focus now, at least a little. The truth is I love doing this podcast. It's easy. I can do it every week. It's not difficult at all, right? I'm a blabbermouth, okay? Ask my girlfriend. I talk a lot. I'll talk her ear off. And the truth is it makes it easier for me to do this podcast. The way I talk is the way I talk on in regular, right? The way I talk on the podcast, this is how I talk in real life. It throws people off sometimes. It's kind of funny. Someone said I have an announcer voice. And someone else said I have the face for radio. If you don't know what that is, that means I'm ugly. Rude. But still, I agree. Anyway, the YouTube channel, you know, I'm getting a lot more traction on it. Don't get me wrong. I'm starting to learn more about the data and how it works. How videos can get 1 out of 10 or whatever. And I don't know. It's not difficult. It's just the fact that I have to upload more. I can't do travel vlogs per se, like as much as I'd like to, especially right now with the mortgage, but I don't mind. You know, there's a lot of stuff I can do nearby. Having said that, I can't do too much nearby, otherwise I'll probably dox myself by accident. I really don't want to do that. I mean, really. I don't know anyone who does want that, by the way. Like, who purposely does that? It's funny that I mentioned the doxing thing, because in my old house, I there's a reason I moved, okay? There's a reason I moved. There are these things that I had. What is it? Stamps and stuff? Not stamps. What is it called? I sent packages to people. And the thing is, they had my address on them. Now I know as an internet personality, you cannot do that. You really cannot do that. So the good thing is the people that do have my address all have the old address and I no longer live there at all. So that's the best part about it. So, you know, if you're going to dox yourself, at least have a backup plan. I don't know, but preferably don't do that, you know. Also, if you're going to send stuff at all and you have you have some sort of internet personality or you have some sort of internet presence and you're actively doing stuff on it, making content or whatever, what you have to realize is that a P.O. box is a must. It's an essential part of it. I know it costs something every year, but you have to have it. You cannot use your actual address. And the truth being is that there are some places, kind of like the one I have now, where they still, I don't know, your address is one thing, but every house around me looks kind of similar. So I don't know. It's kind of cool. My stomach is hurting. Listen, I just pulled out, I paused for a minute to pull the tri-tip out of the oven, and my house smells wonderful. Oh my god. I also realized that I may have overcooked it. Whoops. Like a lot. Like a lot. Yeah, that's overdone. That is overdone. I did this thing where I oven roasted it, but I make sure that I cover it in spices on the outside and the top and the bottom. I'll cut little slits in it and I'll season it on the inside. I'll marinate it with butter, olive oil. I do it all. Okay. My coworker, I have a coworker who was absolutely a whiz at smoking meats, and he knows how to butter and make all kinds of really good shit with tri-tips and all cuts of meat, really. And 10 out of 10, this guy knows what's up. I had to learn from him. Having said that, my jaw hurts, man. I'm not gonna lie, I slept on it wrong. I slept on my jaw wrong. How do you do that? How do you do that? I don't know. It's interesting what I've been learning for the podcast, right? I'll do this thing where, back in the day, when I would do the podcast, it would be a random topic that I'd pick and I'd get really knowledgeable in. This week, I decided to go back to my roots and do just that. I learned a lot about scorpions. And it's funny thinking about it because I cut off randomly because my phone went off again. It's okay. You know what they say. All toasters toast toast. Anyway, I got a really important email saying dirt. That's pretty much it, actually. I just summarized the whole thing. It just says dirt. D-I-R-T. You know, soil. Potting soil. I would love some. Thank you. I'm going to grow my own basil here. When I was a kid in my parents' house, I had a basil bush that I kind of made on my own. Basil is supposed to be kind of separated, you know? But I put it all in a planter with a heavy amount of potting soil so that I had a lot of space to grow. And it grew into a tiny bush. And we had fresh basil for years. It was nice. And whatever basil stayed over, we decided to hang up and dry. It was nice. I just want to continue that tradition because having fresh basil, there's nothing like it, you know? You make pastas with fresh basil, it tastes good. There's all kinds of, you know what? There's all kinds of herbs that I don't have anymore. Now that I moved out here, I don't have any plants. Like, I'll be honest with you, I have no plants at all. And I don't know, man. It's like, I need more. I need more plants. Also, the backyard, there's room for potted plants, but that's about it. I don't really have a backyard anymore. In my old house, big backyard. My dogs run around freely. Here, I'd be the only one in the neighborhood with a dog. And I have a small backyard, and I don't want that. You know, there's something about a small backyard that makes me think, if I have a dog, he's going to be miserable. I feel bad about it, about thinking about that, you know? Because, like, I would love a dog. But not right now, you know? Maybe later. You know what? I got a bit of brain fog right now, I'm not going to lie. Thankfully, we both know where I'm going with this. I got something to do, you know, to help with that. You already know what's up. It's time for a magic mind. You know, the mental performance shot that could. The one with all the nootropics and all the brain power you need. Right in the bottle. Exactly. You already know what's up. You guys know what's going on with magic mind. I mean, I've talked about him before on the podcast. I brought him up before. And it's now been about 21 days of me taking one magic mind every day. And I got to tell you right now, the longer you take it, the more results you see. You know what I mean? Like, every day, I've been taking it with my morning coffee. And at this point, I haven't even finished my morning coffee, but I finished my Magic Mind. You know why? Because Magic Mind is just easier to drink. And I got my nootropics all in one shot. And I'm talking lion's mane, bacopa, ashwagandha, cordyceps. They're all in there. I used to struggle just taking lion's mane on its own because I used to get this powdered form and it was just chalky and nasty. But with Magic Mind, not only does it take like one quick second to drink, it tastes good. I could tell you all these things, or you can try it yourself and you can see for yourself. Just go to magicmind.com/wheat20 and get yourself some. Be sure to use promo code WHEAT20 at checkout and you'll get 48% off your subscription or 20% off one-time purchase. And you know what? I recommend the subscription. You're going to save more money. And trust me, you're going to want more anyway. Thank you to Magic Mind. All right, I'll just put this bottle aside. Huh? Hey, it's raining. It just caught me out of nowhere. I forget how quiet it is here. I heard light tapping. And I didn't know what it was. And I opened the blinds and it's raining so hard right now. I love that though. Ooh, I got chills. But it's nice to It's nice that I can hear it, you know, the light tapping. It's very well insulated, this house.
Ooh.
You know, I've been working on another painting, and I hate to say it, but I messed it up. So I'm redoing it, but only the middle third? I don't know how to explain it. I remember last week I mentioned painting something with it using fall colors. And of course, I don't know what it was that distracted me, but I made the tree incredibly thick, and it was like an olive tree, which is not a tree that would do, I don't know, the leaves and everything were off. My girlfriend said it looks nice still, but the thing is, I don't know, she doesn't know about foliage anatomy like I do. Like, I don't know, the way the leaves were shaped was off, and the trunk made no sense. It was too thick. The root system was nice, but that's about it. So, because of that, I'm going to have to paint something entirely different, at least in the middle, okay? It's going to be a new project I've never tried before. I've never tried hyper-detailed tree trunks, which is normally you can see them from a distance and they look kind of okay, you know? But this time I got really thin brushes and I'm, you know what? You guys don't like talking about the art stuff. Let's just face it. You guys don't like talking about it. It's okay. It's fine. Let's move on. I need to talk about the scorpion thing already. Scorpions, period. There's a lot of interesting stuff about them, right? Like the whole reason that I looked into them is because I already knew a thing or two about them, but I don't know, it's just fun looking at them. Because, okay, here's the thing, right? I've spent a few days in my life driving around Arizona, Phoenix specifically, and there were some scorpions out there, you know? There's a lot of stuff that I've never seen out there. A lot of wildlife that you grow up in a certain area and you're not used to seeing. And one of them was scorpions. But the thing is, specifically, these little silverback ones, I think they're called. I forget what they're called, but they're little like light brown ones. But those specific scorpions, whatever they're called, glow under UV light. So if you have a black light. If you have a black light, if you go outside, you're looking for scorpions, just shine one of those on the ground and they'll shine really brightly, actually. I just thought it was cool because I thought, what other animal does that, you know? Well, I looked into it and I thought, all right, what other animal does do that, you know? Turns out platypus sweat, this very shiny, like, liquid. Well, it's shiny under UV, but I just thought it was interesting because it's the only two animals I've been able to see that glow under UV. And other research is further required. You know what? I need to buy a UV light and I'll see if I can do it myself. I have a lot of experimenting to do with UV. Because I know other people have done it before. It's probably an interesting thing. But nothing feels better than running your own experiments, you know? And we're going to do that. Probably. Probably on the YouTube channel. I really want to set up the fucking studio already. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, we've been... Progress is slow, but we're in the house. That's what matters, right? We've been living here now. And, back to the scorpion thing. Because there's a thing that I wanted to hold off on saying. But the truth is, it's kind of impressive. Scorpion stings are about 100 times worse than a bee sting. Now, I've been stung by a bee, so if you tell me that a scorpion stinging you feels 100 times worse than that, ouch. I'd probably cry if I got stung by one. Have you ever been outside, and I hate to say this, I mean, this one's probably going to make somebody wince, but have you ever been walking outside barefoot and you step on a bee? Like, and it stings you right in the middle of the sole? Like, dude, I've been there once. It was the worst feeling in the world because good luck walking on that thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know, it's so annoying. It's annoying for a number of reasons. One, the bee is already dead. Like, it took you with him, you know? Like, bees, when they sting you, they're gonna die. But the way they do it, it's kind of brutal. Like, when they sting you, their barbs get hooked in there, and there's a gland that injects venom. But this gland is also attached to their digestive tract, essentially. So when they release their stinger, their intestines go out with it. You'll see a long strand of goop, and that's what it is. And, you know, little by little, they'll be dead. So realistically, the thing that happened in the Bee movie when Barry B. Benson's friend stung someone, he should not have been alive because his intestines essentially ripped out of its ass. Which is, it would have been a much more brutal scene, to be honest. Like, I don't know, man. Okay, I want to talk about that scene, because I feel like it doesn't get enough I feel like no one talks about it enough. In the B-movie, right? I know it was a meme years ago, but let's talk about this scene where Barry B. Benson's friend, I cannot fucking remember his name, Lloyd, I think, where he stings the lawyer, and the lawyer starts going apeshit. Why on earth, before he, like, before the scene cuts to the lawyer screaming, Barry's friend stings the lawyer, and he, like, busts a nut. No one talks about that part. And he even mentions it later, and they just ignore it. We're just not going to talk about that. Like, dude, no, what the fuck is he talking about? Like, you can clearly see in his eyes, too. He even, before it cuts, he just goes, oh. Look, I never thought I'd see a bee fucking moan or bust a nut so hard it dies. But he didn't die. That's the thing. In the movie, obviously, it's a fucking movie. It's animated. It's really funny. But it's just funny to me how different the reality of that scene would have been. First off, no talking bees would have existed, but still. But I think of the scene later where he talks about it. And Barry just doesn't want to talk about it after he hears the bit where he's like, oh, you were just full of rage. Or like, you know, what did it feel like to sting someone? His friend's just going, well, at first you were so angry. You just pent up with rage, and then ecstasy. What gets me is when he looks over, and, like, he's got, like, a weird-shaped head, so he's just, like, all excited, smiling at him. He looks like a fucking weird-ass. He looks like a bean, I guess. I mean, they're bees. They're small, but still. It's just... Oh, my God. Dude, what a fucking classic movie. We should make a deep dive on that one day. Like, the Bee movie was a meme. But at the same time, I genuinely watched that movie over and over again. Like, all jokes aside, I love that movie so much. Anyway, Scorpion Venom. We were on the topic of stinging, get it? All right. Scorpions will do this thing where when they're older, they have less venom. So they'll sting someone and they'll inject them with venom still, but it will not be as painful or it will not be as deadly as when they were younger. I feel like I could make a joke about, like, fertility and men. It's like when a guy gets older and he can no longer nut, basically. Ew. So the younger, the more they... You know what? I'm moving on. Okay, I learned that from Indiana Jones, and I had to Google it to see if it was real. Where Shia LaBeouf gets stung by a scorpion. And he runs up to Indiana Jones and starts going, hey, I got stung by a scorpion. He goes, how big was it? He goes, huge. He's like, oh, don't worry about it then. Like, he just walks off. He's like, the bigger they are, the less they sting, or the less venom they have. I mean, I Googled it. He was right. But it's just weird hearing about it. You would think the opposite would happen, right? But it reminds me of spiders, where... Here's the thing about spiders. They have this thing about them where... Before I go on, if I seem more knowledgeable in this topic, I wanted to be an entomologist when I grew up, so I actually studied bugs in depth. I know a lot about them. Anyway, most spiders that have venom, when they're younger, will have more venom when they sting or when they bite. Not because, you know, well, they're born with the amount of venom they're going to use. So little by little over time, every time they eat something, it's going to take away from it, you know? There's not an infinite supply is what I'm saying. They don't make more. They have a limited quantity, and it's not a lot. But they'll use it more when they're younger. Because, you know, like any juvenile creature, like anyone young, they're not going to know how to control it. Oh, I love bugs, dude. Bugs are cool. Ignore the fact that I'm, you know, certified to spray pesticides. I have a lot of fucking hats that I wear, don't I? It's interesting. Anyway, the, Scorpion venom. Let's just actually talk about it for once. Because I keep nudging towards it, right? Venom of the scorpion is the reason that the creature is so well sought after. And if you know what I'm talking about, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, you know, I'll tell you right now. People farm scorpions for their venom. And it's a very dangerous practice because scorpions can easily kill you. Especially if you're like, let's say you're older or if you have a compromised immune system, or if you have any children nearby, they're at higher risk of death, you know, from getting a scorpion sting. And if you have a baby, it's significantly worse because the thing is, scorpion venom does nerve damage. So if you have a baby nearby and they're like, if they do get stung, they can't tell you, right? They'll be crying and crying and crying. And I've seen some videos where the babies will not stop throwing themselves around. Essentially, that's their nerves being damaged, which, yeah, I would fucking scream in pain too. So if you have a baby, don't have a scorpion farm. That's all I'm saying. And if you do have a scorpion farm, you know, work out, eat right, and exercise. You got to keep your immune system strong, just in case. However, I'm just saying, I'm building up, you know, a rapport, right? I'm going to tell you right now, scorpion venom, do you know how much it costs per gallon? I mean, there's probably no way in hell you're going to get a gallon of scorpion venom. But if you manage to, do you know how much it's worth? $39 million. Scorpion farming is valuable, okay? Because a microgram of the stuff is valuable. The amount that you can buy currently, if you want scorpion venom, it's diluted. But the most you can buy is about $140. And it's a size of, it's less than a grain of sugar. Like, it's insane. Scorpion venom is very valuable, you know? They have machines now that could farm the scorpions. And it's only four times more, like, it's only four times better than a human. But the thing is, four times a small number is still a small number. It's not properly automated is what I'm saying. So if you do want to get into the scorpion farming industry and you're in the middle of the desert, go for it, honestly. I mean, I would not have any idea how to get started on that. I don't know how scorpions breed. I don't know any of their eating habits, right? I don't know any of that. Because the thing is, I may know a thing or two about insects, but it's just the ones that are local. Scorpions are the ones that always intrigue me because I'd have to go to a pet shop and buy them for like $50. And I do not have the money to piss away on an animal that that I know nothing about. Okay. Specifically, if you're going to get a pet, you know, let's be direct. If you're going to get a pet, be sure to fucking learn their habits and everything. Also, don't make the same mistake I did. I did not even call it by its real name. It's a Death Stalker. The Death Stalker is the one I'm talking about. It's one of the most venomous scorpions. Also, here is how much you're going to get per scorpion. If you have a big, healthy scorpion and you haven't milked it or hasn't eaten in a while, a big, healthy scorpion, when milked, will produce 2 milligrams of venom. Only 2 milligrams, okay? You'd have to milk close to 3 million scorpions to get a gallon. So if you're trying to be a millionaire, get busy. But if you're just trying to make a living, you could do that. You do that easily. It's like panning for gold, you know? You're not going to make millions, but it's a fun activity. I'm talking, you know what's funny? I'm pretty sure that's very specific to the area that I'm in because I live here in California and it's the Golden State for a reason. Like some of our lakes, if you go panning for gold, you'll find some. You won't find a lot, but you'll find some. And the thing is, people don't realize how valuable gold is, but at the same time, how sparse it is, right? That's a whole another podcast, okay? That's a whole different episode of the podcast. I'll do that, though. Don't worry. It's the amount of venom that that a scorpion produces. I always thought, because of how little you could buy, that it would be a lot more, or that it would be a lot less that they produce. But no, whenever you squeeze a stinger into an ampule or, you know, whatever receptacle you'll be having, they will just drop. They'll have a single droplet. It's actually not that small of an amount. It's not an insignificant amount, basically. If you're milking a scorpion, you can see the moment a droplet comes out. It's interesting. It's a lot if you're getting stung. It's a little if you're milking them. You know what I mean? It's a risky business, but I think every job has its inherent risks. Okay, so why the hell would you get venom from a scorpion anyway? What makes it so valuable? Well, the thing is, it's got a chlorotoxin in it that current modern medicine is being, you know, they're utilizing it. Basically, they're getting this specific chemical from the venom, and apparently it has cancer-binding receptacles. Like, if you know, it helps with cancer. It's a cancer cure, essentially. It's interesting, don't get me wrong. It's like, okay, how did we know, or how were we ever going to know that a venom was the cure to cancer, you know? It's interesting how that works. Poisons have a very interesting structure to them, you know. If used in the wrong way, or if used in the wrong way, it's going to be deadly. But if it's labeled as a poison, is that not the correct way to use it? Anyway, I don't know. There's a phrase. It's not coming to mind. Any medicine in high enough doses is a poison. So if you scale it the other way, if you get a poison and you scale it back, is it a medicine of some kind? Turns out, yes. Three different kinds, in fact. Okay, you got the chlorotoxin, right? Then you got the scorpion, and you got caleotoxin. Okay, the one I just talked about was the chlorotoxin. That's the cancer-binding one. There's others, right? But they all do their own thing. The caleotoxin one is interesting because there's been animal testing done on it, on rats, for certain bone diseases, right? There has not been human trials, but as far as I know, as far as I've done my research, there's been no human trials, but at the same time, you know, they're there, you know? There's some promise to it, is what I'm saying. But yeah, if you get any poison, scale it back enough, you might have some medical use. That's kind of a dangerous way to see it, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. I regret saying that. But I know some people are going to take that ball and run with it. Even if I explain afterwards, don't fucking do that on your own, okay? Let the professionals do it. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because the last time some shit like that happened and someone took that ball and ran with it, we had fucking ivermectin use. Remember that shit? What the hell was that, by the way? People were using ivermectin to cure COVID. What the fuck? Like, a dewormer for horses? It's not a worm. Like, I don't know, man. People are crazy. I mean, in acts of desperation, people will do all kinds of shit, whether they're right or wrong. And, good God, I cannot get over that echo, dude. I can't get over the echo. Every time I stop talking, you can hear it, right? Did you hear that? It's even worse when I cough. Oh my God. Look, I'm sorry, okay? We're gonna get rid of the echo soon. I don't know how, but I'll figure it out. I'm thinking maybe soundproofing. A lot of soundproofing. I thought I had enough, but I guess not. I actually have some stuff that I brought over from the other house, and I'm looking around realizing that I did not actually bring it. Fuck. I have some stuff. I gotta get the soundproofing foam. I had this shield... the soundproofing shield around the microphone before, and I always took it for granted. You know, it was doing its job, and because it was doing its job, I never noticed it. But now that I don't have it, now I notice the job is not being done. So maybe get that fixed. I just gotta go to my parents' house and grab it, you know what I mean? Okay, going back to the scorpion, the venom specifically. If you look into it, there's actually quite a lot of uses at home, and I have a feeling that that's a horrible idea, but it's a scorpion, so, you know, I'm not going to stop you. You know, what the fuck? Look, okay, if you Google scorpion venom uses, you're going to get a lot of weird stuff where it's like, oh, you could do this at home. Don't do that. Anyway, in a professional setting, scorpion venom could be used for pain relief. It's anti-inflammatory is why. However, okay, yeah, I'm glad I read further. Pain relief, yes, there have been some suggestions that, you know, it'll help with pain relief. However, the anti-inflammatory part, no current scientific evidence supports that. So if you want it for, you know, if you feel swollen or bloated or whatever, if you have inflammatory that needs to be antied, no, don't use that. Oh my God. It's weird, though. There's a lot of stuff here that says, no scientific evidence. It has a lot of stuff that there's no current scientific evidence for. And one of them was, counterintuitively, cancer treatment? Are you fucking kidding me? We just said that. Chemotherapy or radiation side effects. No scientific evidence currently supports this use. What fucking website is this? You know what? I'm done. Look, why are there so many interacting parts to this? Like, there's so many parts that contradict each other. You go to one cert, you go to Inside Edition where they're fucking milking the scorpions and then talking about the cancer curing elements, and then you go to another website where it's like, actually, no, we don't know. We don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Man, the scientists are always fighting, man. That's the thing. Oh, you gotta look at where the money's coming, though. That's going to do it for this episode of the Meatweed Podcast. Be sure to keep your biases in check by, I don't know, looking around you. I don't know. What the fuck was that? But yeah, I'll see you guys next week. Be sure to get the Magic Mind link in the description. And I'll see you guys next week. Hopefully we can fucking fix this damn echo by now.